I have to say, you look 100 at the moment.
What for the love of God is that?
I actually
look very good for my age. You should see the looks on
it. Yes, it's a statue of little baby Jesus.
Little baby Jesus.
Oh, my God, man.
You're revived.
Oh, little baby Jesus.
Get out. Go inside yourself. The search for chasms for meaning.
You're listening to
Look at Mine.
So how are you doing, Emma?
I'm well, thank you, my love. How are you?
I'm doing very well. This is our second episode. Can you believe it?
I actually can't.
No.
I can't.
Why can't you, Emma?
Because I, in all honesty, I didn't think there'd be so much demand for a Catholic Kim podcast, but we've had really good feedback, haven't we?
We have. We've even had an American listener, which I've been very shooketh about. So we've fully gone international.
We're international stars now.
We just need that one Australian listener and then we'll all have made it.
Yeah, we'll blow up. We'll really blow up.
But we want to kind of keep that momentum going of last week's episode. We are excited because this has to, I think this is probably one of my favouritest, my most favourite scene throughout any Kath and Kim episode.
This is an iconic episode. And
it really is.
And you know what? We see a lot of different sides from the characters, and that's what I love about it.
We do. We get taken on a bloody journey, and we don't know where it's going to land.
We don't.
The very end.
I mean, needless to say, the title of episode 2 is Gay.
Oh, imaginary flick wrist.
So in this episode, we open with Kath on the Kim to her one true love, Kel, and they're discussing the wedding dress, going shopping. And Kath also opens up a little bit about how sick of Kim she is, eating all her food, taking up her space, not loving it. But within the first like 3 minutes, we do get our first ever, and I think it's the first of the series, correct me if I'm wrong, but we do get our first look at my Kimmy.
Look at my plies.
Look at my plies. I've got one word to say to you, Kim. Already, it's my favourite episode.
Yes.
That's obviously our namesake.
It really is. And like, it's also, you can't go wrong with a Kath and Kim argument. I love a bit of tension. I love a bit of drama. To have it within the first 3 minutes is something that I need on a daily basis.
Yeah. I tell you what else we get in the first 3 minutes, Connor. We get the lovely Sharon. I love how early Sharon comes in.
She came in like towards the end on the last episode. Now she's really making her mark.
Making her mark.
Do you know what? I really feel like this episode really highlights Sharon for who she is. And you'll kind of hear about it as we talk through the episode. But she really has her moments in this episode.
This is a good episode for Sharon. And I think that's why it's one of my favorites. You know, if you've heard our previous podcast, you'll know that I have
come to the terms.
I've come to terms with the fact that I am Sharon. And I've got a soft spot in my heart for Sharon. I mean, you've got to be pretty cold not to.
No.
And so I think part of the reason I love this episode is because Sharon gets everything she deserves. And we'll discuss more on that later. So, picture the scene. We've got Kath on the phone, distraught over the fact that Kim is still living with her. Sharon comes in and Kim moans to Sharon about how she doesn't want to move back in with Brett because Brett has found another love in Cujo the dog. And then we cut to a montage scene of Brett and his Rottweiler, Cujo, who... And do you know what? That actually brings up a lot of emotions for me because I'm also in a relationship where I play second fiddle to a dog.
Oh, Emma, do you know what, though? Mm. I do love that dog, I've got to say. Yeah. I've met Sunny. The dog, Sunny, a few times. And boy, do we get on like a house of fire.
Well, I'm glad someone does.
There's always a moment where we're at the pub or somewhere and Sunny rocks up. Everyone's attention goes away from Emma's to Sunny's, and then Emma will be like really nice to Sunny as well, like, come on Sunny, come on my lap. Sunny's not having any of it.
He hates
Sunny
me.
Does not give
I
a shit.
I'm based in, I think in his little world, I'm the evil stepmom.
You know what? I would say that's about right, to be honest. You're taking Sunny's dad's attention away from Sunny, you know?
But I'm not. And that's part of the problem. And I don't want to sit here and tell a load of people that I'm jealous of a dog.
No, that's true. That's true.
But, you know, if the shoe fits. Anyway, so yeah, Brett loves his dog more than Kim. Can't relate.
The thing is, there is that fine line with man's best friend. And I feel like you can kind of... It depends on the person. And I do honestly feel, being serious, there's no competition going on from what I see as an outsider.
No, I mean, I do like to play up to it. But I think you're right. I think if somebody can love a furry friend that much, it says a lot about them. And it's quite nice, isn't it? It's nice to see a soft side of somebody.
And to have someone that can look after an animal, that's also that's when you know that they're a keeper, because they're not just thinking about themselves.
So true.
Yeah.
Do you think it's a turn on?
I would say so. It depends on the type of animal, to be honest.
Yeah. Would you go home with a guy who had like a Komodo dragon? Because I would not.
You wouldn't. I mean, no. I did see a movie about killer Komodo dragons like eating all these humans. So probably not.
But like, you know, those guys that have like lizards and snakes and stuff.
Yeah.
I have a friend, and I won't name him, but ever since he was a kid, he always wanted a snake, and he got one of those like little snakes, you know, that's like red and black.
Yeah.
And he slept with it in his bed.
Oh my God, how did he not kill the snake?
I mean, it must have slithered away. I don't know. But that is a true story.
That is weird. I've got to say that.
I mean, if that doesn't put you off boys with reptiles, I don't know what does.
I mean, like, Dan had a reptile when he was younger.
Dump him.
He had a little lizard. Dump him.
Dump him.
Okay. I'll let him know after this episode.
Sorry, Dan. No, to be fair, Joe had lizards as well. And I've got to, like, it grosses me out. Maybe I am, like, completely shutting off my heart to, like,
men
entire...
with lizards.
Men with lizards. Not just lizards, men with any reptile.
Snakes.
And spiders.
Spiders, no. Yeah.
But a dog's fine. A dog's fine.
A dog is where we can draw the line. That's where it's... Yeah. And a cat as well.
Oh, yeah. Cat's all right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes to furry, no to slithery. It's my general rule for dating.
I thought you meant yes to being a furry.
That could be misconstrued.
I'll tell you who's not slithery, Emma.
Who?
Kel.
Oh, baby Kel. Daddy Kel.
Daddy Kel. My angel baby cake. And your angel baby cake too.
Yeah, in a slightly different way.
Oh yeah. Well, you still call him that though.
I do.
So he walks into the property looking as sexy as ever with his man purse. You know, he struts in. He's like, how's my foxy fiance? And they have a little passionate kiss with each other. And it really just shows their love for each other, you know? And it's something so beautiful to see.
I do love their relationship.
That's like one relationship that will test the fate of time, you know? Kim's already been nagged by Kaf to move out, and it all gets worse when Kel joins, because she knows that Kel's been talking to Kaf about Kim and wanting her out, and she's not having any of it, Kim, because remember, Kim hates Kel.
Kim hates Kel.
Kim fucking hates Kel. So basically, Kim is like stressed at the moment, and one thing she does is stress eats. So she's trying to find some dippity bits in the cupboard. Do you know what? They've been hidden and she's not happy about it. Has anyone ever hidden anything from you in the house that you shouldn't when you were younger or anything?
As a grown woman, somebody yeah. has hidden things from me, not in the house, but at work. When I worked at a bar, the bar used to be quite famous for its Bloody Marys, and it used to, you know, pickles and onions and all that on cocktail sticks and make it look all fancy. Anyway, I used to eat all of the gherkins out of the jar, and so my boss used to hide the gherkins from me at work. And that was that, we're talking like 2 years ago, so really
Yeah.
So I find it quite demeaning.
I mean, although... were you just stealing stock?
Yeah, I was, yeah. I guess when you put it like that.
Because I remember when we were at your last birthday, when I came to visit you, you got given a jar of pickles, and I was like, why did this happen? Was it pickles and fish?
It was a bottle of gin, pickles, and
I swear it was like mussels or something like that.
Cockles.
And I was like, I was a bit taken back. But then I realized you have an addiction to pickles. You
anything
like a pickle.
Pickled. Anything pickled, I'll put in my mouth.
Oh, pickled kale?
Mm. Pickled kale, anyone? what about you? Has anyone ever hidden anything from you?
I mean, my parents used to just hide like the sweets and stuff when I was younger. Because, you know, in the house, you've always got a sweet drawer or something.
Yeah.
And it just, me and my sister couldn't be trusted. So,
to be honest, to this day, I can't be trusted. I like will eat sweeties until I get a stomach ache.
Mm.
And I'm in my mid-20s. I'm not proud of it. But
I mean, now you can live your life, queen. Do what you want. Do what you need.
Yeah, just because I can, though, doesn't mean I should.
No, that's true. That's true. And I also feel that, but then sometimes I'm just like, fuck it. But then I regret it straight away.
Yeah, there's always that shame, isn't there? Shame. Anywho, so a little bit later on in the episode, Kath and Kim head to Fountain Gate and look at wedding dresses. And we get another montage, full of montages this episode, isn't
it? This is a montage episode, yeah.
Bit of a crutch, I'd say. Bit of a crutch, but I'm still liking it. And I thought that the dresses were rather Diana inspired, but you thought they were atrocious.
I mean, now I feel awkward when you brought up Diana, because it does look Diana. Like, what would you call, is it?
It's kind of like that 80s ruffle.
They still have it where it's like flowers, but they're like see-through and
like lace.
Lace, yeah. And there's lace, and some of them were really bad, but I guess that was just during the times. I mean, I look at some stuff on like Don't Tell the Bride and that, and I don't know how far wedding dresses have really gone in terms of style.
That's so true.
I feel like I'm really picky.
Yeah. I like, so in the episode, I swear Kath wears like this little, like almost like a jumpsuit. Mm. See, I'm kind of into like the wedding jumpsuit.
I could see you in a wedding jumpsuit with the trousers a bit being like a nice silk, like a white silvery silk.
Yes.
With some like thick heels on, bootish type like, heels.
Almost like, I want to say a cape.
A cape.
But like, not a cape.
We both said it at the same time. Yeah. I've never heard you say that. A shawl.
Oh. So yeah, I think the wedding dress, you're right, hasn't really progressed much. I mean, it's been modernized.
It has.
However, I really like looking at like different Instagrams where like just different sort of wedding styles. The wedding jumpsuit is defo for me. That yes. or a Vivian Westwood wedding dress. There's no in between.
No, I definitely see you in a bloody jumpsuit, and I want to see you in a jumpsuit. Just in general, hun.
I need more
jumpsuits from you, please. I think you should get a Kim or Kath inspired jumpsuit. That's what we really want and need.
I'm going to make it happen. On my next trip to Brighton, I'm going to come in a jumpsuit. So what wedding dress did Kath land on, Connor?
I mean, probably one of the most iconic outfits on the show. I did just say how much I hated all of the dresses, But when she came out in this little Bo Peep inspired frock, she had the pants. It was a pants, yeah. She had the stockings, the pants. She had
the bonnet.
The bonnet. It was a bonnet. And she had a crook. You decide.
A crook.
A crook. A crook. And she looked fucking gorgeous. Do you not agree?
No, I don't agree.
You
were
don't.
You into
okay.
It? Were you, hang on. Wait. Are you joking?
No, I was severely into it.
Well, you are severely wrong. It was gross.
I just have bad taste, it seems.
I think you do, hun, yeah.
I feel like you also have bad taste. I'm joking.
You are severely wrong. Severely wrong there, Connor. So she ends up looking like little Bo Peep and she looks shit. Well,
no.
I think she looks shit.
Well, each to their own, you know.
And as Kim says, she looks like mutton dressed as lamb, which I think was so harsh.
Honestly, that's, yeah, that, I mean... Kath is good for her age. She looked great for her age in that. So
how old definitely is she meant to be?
I'm not too sure, but I'm gonna say probably late 30s. Early
40s. What? Kath?
Kim's meant to be like a 16-year-old, or based off like a teenager.
But she's married.
Yeah, but she's meant to be based as like a bratty teenager, maybe in her 20s, early 20s.
Yeah, I'd say Kim is meant to be 25. But Kath I think is meant to be in her 40s. We're really disagreeing on this episode, aren't we? Wow, sorry. Such strong opinions on their age. Oh god. So, back at the house, Kim is wearing a rainbow on her t-shirt, foreshadowing, you tell me. Sharon enters once again in some golfing gear, and she mentions to Kim that she should come and play golf with the girls. But Kath does not like the idea of how butch that seems. Ooh.
No, because she was mentioning earlier that Kim wanted to kind of go out and explore herself. She wanted to go and explore her options. Kath has taken on this idea of there's something fishy going on here. There's something dodgy. I'm not sure if I like it. And with the golf, wearing a rainbow shirt, who bloody knows what Kim could bloody do? I don't know, honestly.
There are some tropes and stereotypes being relied on.
Very much so.
And Kath ain't loving it, honey.
So we get to the middle of the episode. And as a nice little break apart before we get into the next one, I'd like to do Connor's Fountain Lake of Knowledge. Do you get the reference?
I do.
You do.
It's the mall.
It's the mall. Insert song here.
Connor's Fountain Lake of Knowledge.
Basically, halfway through each episode, I want to give a nice fact that I don't think you've heard before, and a fact that I don't think the listeners would have heard before.
Which okay.
Will be, yeah, so this one really shook me, actually, and I don't know how you're going to deal with it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Okay. I'm ready.
Magda played Sharon, Kim's second best friend. But in real life, the comedian wasn't exactly friendly with Kath and Kim, the actresses, when they first met.
Really?
Yeah. Sharon said, "I hated her on sight. The dislike was mutual. I thought she was a crash show-off and she thought I was a stuck-up snob. We were both right." So what are your thoughts on that?
This whole premise has come crashing. I hate it when you find out that like the actors don't like each other in real life. This happened. It ruined Charmed for me.
Did it?
It now it's ruined Kath and Kim.
Well, no, because
Will and Grace. There are so many I can name. It ruins the show for me.
No. Because Sharon goes on. "We finally overcame our pride and prejudice a year later when I moved in with a mutual friend, Gina, who is Kim. And I completely fell in love over the phone when she would ring to speak to him and got stuck talking to her." So they became really close after the first season.
Okay.
So.
Well, it doesn't make me comfortable.
It was a rocky road at the start. They both hated each other, but they love each other now. And that's all that matters. Peace in the world.
Yeah.
No.
I guess.
I mean, they still went on to make three other seasons and they still look like they're friends now.
And two films.
And two films. So can't have been that bad. Well, I'll try and make them more lighthearted next time because I really feel like I've upset you now and I'm sorry.
It's just brought up a lot for me. I just think if you're in a hit show like that and this
goes out to... You have to be friends. It's like Desperate Housewives.
Well, not that you have to, but like if you're not friends, keep shtum. Because what we invest in is the friendships on screen. And if we know that that's not even a little bit true, then...
That's so true. That is so true. Like I was devastated when the Desperate Housewife girls, when they all hated Susan Meyer, the actress that played Susan Meyer, everyone
Why
hated
her. Why did they hate her?
Because she was apparently like a bitch and like was like really rude and like just was really demanding. And I was really upset because Susan has like the best, she was like supposed to be the nicest one of the bunch. So
yeah.
Are you ready to go back into the second part now?
I think we're going to have to because I'm a bit bummed out now. What happens next, Connor?
Dry your eyes, mate. So Kim and Sharon come back from golf. And as they kind of leave the car, you see that they're wearing these matching golf outfits. So the outfits were 3/4 length, like checkered trousers, and Kim's was iconically red and pink, and Sharon's was like blue, darker blue type combo. And they're wearing the cap, they're wearing the polo shirt. And I think Emma mentioned it's comfort over everything.
Comfort over everything, hun. I would wear that today. And also, I think we should point out that I don't think Kim's body looked amazing in that outfit.
Do you know what? Best she's ever looked. And it's only been it's only been the second episode. I can't imagine you wearing the outfit, but when you would, you'd probably rock it. I would also probably think that you were on like a hen do where you did the golf drinking game. Do you know when you go pub golf?
Oh, yeah.
That's the only time I could imagine you wearing an outfit like those two.
Maybe not the whole outfit, but I would wear the shorts, I think.
Yeah, I would see. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to keep you to these statements and I want to see these happening.
Don't.
And if any
please
of
don't.
You want to see Emma in these outfits, we'll source them and put it on our new Instagram that we've got. And our new Instagram, which has a bunch of memes and it will have stuff about us and bits of the
clips of the podcast.
Clips of the podcast is at look LOKKAT at Moi, MOII, please. So look at Moi, please, to keep up with the content. And if we ever discuss anything that we've talked about, we'll probably put it in there, like pictures and stuff. So if you want to give us a follow, be more than happy to. Thank you very much.
Follow if you're sexy.
Follow if you're sexy. So Sharon and Kim, they come back into the house and they go into the living room and Kath is upstairs and she's heard them come in. Sharon and Kim are making these grunting noises and basically Kath thinks that Sharon and Kim are like making out or something. It's very suspicious. It's very dodgy. And Kath's at her home, but then you get to see it's Kim trying to get some dippity bits from behind the TV because Kel told her where they were hidden. So again, it's bringing up this idea of like, what's going on with Sharon and Kim? Are they an item or are they just friends? Who knows?
Stay tuned to find out. We then see Kath and Kel out for dinner and Kath shares with Kel her worries that Kim is a homosexual. And Kel, being the absolute king that he is like, hun, it's chill. I was in the Navy for 6 years, you know. we've all done it, babe. Kath is shook and storms out, and that's where we learn that Kath is a closet homophobe.
Yes, it's I would not think it would be Kath. I thought Kim would be the homophobe, to be honest.
No, yeah, same, but it's Kath. We then cut back to the house and Kim and Sharon are getting ready to go speed dating. What can go wrong there? And it's heavily implied that Kim is helping Sharon strap on her shoe, which Kath then overhears and runs off in disgust. How does the speed dating go?
Well, the speed dating at start, it looks like it's going well, to be honest. Sharon's mentioning how she loves football, she loves teams, she loves sports. She just loves live, love, laughs, life. And that's what she's doing at the moment at the speed dating.
Mm.
Whereas Kim is saying she hates this, she hates that, she hates doing chores. She's just being Kim, you know? But you know what? She's actually showing who she is. Then that's the whole point of a speed date. Show who you are in 60 seconds or less. So I feel like she's also technically doing well because she's doing what she's been asked.
I see. Once again, Con, I'm going to disagree with you.
What?
It's speed dating. I think lie, lie, lie. Okay. Don't tell him who you really are.
See, this lie. Is where we differ. I like to be honest where you like to lie. I'm joking. How many times have you lied then on a first date? Too many to count.
I'm trying to think exactly what I've lied about. Like, oh yeah, I really like that film. In fact, Joe recently said to me, he was like, when we first started going out, you said that you like loved music. And he goes, I've never heard you listen to music. I think you hate music.
Oh my God.
Especially because it was like a Sunday morning and he put on his speakers and he put on some music and I was like, oh, can you just turn that off? And he was like, you hate music.
Oh my God. Honestly. I mean.
So you lied.
Do you like music? I swear.
Yeah, I like music.
Do you listen to it like on the daily?
No, well, here's where I differ. I think I like to listen to music like through head. It's how I consume music.
Mm.
Like a lot of people like to listen to the radio and listen to music when they do things. I like to watch TV while I do that. But I will listen to music, you know, when I'm in the car and there's rain pouring and I'm feeling emotional.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, yeah. I could just imagine you going on a first date being like, oh, I fucking love Man United. It's my favourite team.
And yeah,
you get taken on a game and then he asks you what your favourite player was or something. That's the type of scenario I could see you getting into.
Well, the thing is, my lies, they do catch up with me. I mean, look at Joe.
Yeah, you hate music, so...
I hate music. All kinds of music.
You can't bloody stand it. You cannot bloody stand it.
Can't bloody stand it.
A bit of fun.
I tell you who doesn't hate music.
Kel. Because Kel comes back. He's come back in like a van with all of the old lads. Bear in mind, they all looked like in their 70s. They had like big beards and moustaches. He comes out of the van with a bouquet of flowers and he heads up to Kath's place. So he comes in, he gives her the flowers and just kind of is like, we need to fix this. I love you, mate. Like, come on. And do you know what? As quoted by Kath, she is one confused tramp at the moment.
Mm-hmm. She is.
That's like, do you know what? She's in her feels. She's in her feels and she is still battling with her internalized homophobia. She needs to get out of it. She questions Kel's manlyhood. From his past, from the Navy, from carrying his man bag to making all of those juicy sausages.
She's judging him.
Judging him big time. And do you know what? He wants to prove himself right now. He says, I'm going to prove to you I'm a man right here, right now, on the shag. But first, let me put those flowers in a vase. Let me put some water in the vase and let me delicately... place the flowers in the proper position and say stunning and then let's have sex on the shag. But Kath, she's not up for it.
She's not.
And then Kel just has to, he's got no choice but to leave, really.
He licks his wounds and he leaves. So back at the speed dating, it has not gone well for Kim. She's feeling very sorry for herself, smoking at the bar. Sharon, however, is getting her moment. All the lads are surrounding her. They're so impressed by all of her cricket knowledge. She's fucking killing it. And Kim's jealous. And she asks the bartender. She wants to drown her sorrows. And she asks the bartender for another Sambuca.
Sambuca, please. Also, I mean, I'm not being judgy, but I am. Sambuca, no thank you. As a shot to go for.
I hate Sambuca.
But it just shows how rock bottom Kim is at the moment.
Mm.
She needs another Sambuca. She had two packets of cigarettes by her on the bar table. She's not having fun and she's trying to get guys to buy her drinks, but they're all ignoring her.
Probably because her breath stinks. Imagine being two sambucas with two packets of
cigarettes down.
Christ, I won't go near you.
No. But you know what happens next?
What? Tell me.
And this is where Kath has gone out to kind of... She can't be in the house. She can't be left to her own thoughts. She needs to go out and do something. So she's walking down the high street.
It's almost like she's so fixated on it that, like, she's seeing...
Everything.
Everything. She's seeing Dyke. She's seeing Lebanese. She's seeing
out.
You know, these words connotes with homosexuality.
She ends up, she's like panicking, she is running across the street, she drops her own bag, she cannot handle all of these homosexual connotations and all of those. Yeah, she's overwhelmed.
But do you know where she ends up? In a bookstore, in a place of learning. And I think that should be commended.
Yeah, you should always end at a place of learning if you need guidance. Yeah.
If you're feeling that you've got prejudice inside of you, you need to learn about these prejudices and where they come from.
Unpack it.
Because only then can we squash them. Unpack it, yeah.
And learn.
And I think I love the journey Kath went on. She comes home with a load of books, scan reads them. Wish I could read like that. Till the crack of dawn, she's up learning, retraining her brain.
This is showing the character development in just one episode as well.
Hmm. Or in a mere 20 minutes.
In a mere 20 minutes, she has managed to overcome internalized homophobia. And if that's not...
I mean...
If that doesn't prove anything, everyone else can get over their internalized homophobia within at least 20 minutes or a full day of reading.
It's that easy, guys.
It's that easy.
It's that easy.
Whilst Kath is on an explorative learning journey of not being homophobic, back at the bar, Sharon is with a lad... With a guy, he's got his nice mullet, he's got the biggest sideburns you'll ever see, and they're just chatting about what they like.
And a chin strap.
And a chin strap to the cherry on the icing. And what we do, we're giving you the behind the scenes, we watch the episode together before we record this episode, and the look on Emma's face, the pure smiling joy that Emma had when she saw Sharon having that connection with that man was just so beautiful. She was so happy.
I loved it. I loved it. I love seeing Sharon get her moment.
And I love seeing you get your moment as well. And you're in that moment right now.
Thanks, babe.
But do you know who's not in their moment right now?
Who's not in their moment right now, Connor?
Bloody Kim. Because Kim gets so pissed off and pissed that she calls Brett and is like, pick me up now. Pick me up now.
Never go back, honeys. Never look backwards. Always look forwards, babe.
Literally. So they end up spending the night together and you see both of them in bed and you hear Brett being like, oh, you're such a beautiful girl. You look amazing. You look great. And Kim is like, I'm finally getting the recognition that I deserve.
Turns out he was talking about the dog.
It's me or the dog.
Kim does... give Brett an ultimatum. It's me or Cujo the dog. After the dog starts barking at her, Kim bites the dog's ear. What the fuck?
Did you not remember that bit?
No, I just thought she like shoved. Okay, so after attacking the dog, Kim, rightfully so, I think, gets kicked out. And Brett tells Kim that he's seen another side of her, a mean and selfish side that he's never seen before. And this really pricked my ears up. Because mean and selfish Kim is the Kim that we all know. So
what's the other side?
What is he seeing?
Yeah.
So she's obviously hiding parts of herself from her partner. Have you ever done that?
Ooh, okay. Hidden myself. I wouldn't say so necessarily. I mean, there's like weird things about like types of TV shows or just like stuff that I'm interested in. But that kind of came to fruition as the relationship kind of developed. So
it all comes out in the end.
Just like all of your secrets and lies, Emma. just like all of your secrets.
It won't stop me. I'm always bloody lying.
Are you hiding parts about yourself, like how you distaste music so much?
Well, that's come out. I say that I enjoy films when I don't, just to sound like cool. Because Joe is very like, oh, he loves like his independent films, like underground music. Oh, he loves like skateboarders skating and whatnot. And I like ABBA and Britney Spears. So we're a bit of an
nothing wrong with
couple.
That, babes. There's nothing wrong with a bit of Britney.
Nothing wrong with a bit of Britney. So we're a bit of an odd couple in that respect. So do I hide? I don't hide, but I do maybe embellish some things. But we've got to the point now, we've been together so long, where he'll kind of go, you're lying, aren't you? And I'll go, yeah. Stop lying.
Just stop lying, Emma. How long have we been together?
I can't. I think it's almost like a habit now. And it's never, there's always like white lies.
Yeah, it's never been serious.
I love that film. Oh, I love that track. Oh my God, I love your new tattoo. Like white lights that don't mean
I love your new tattoo.
That looks really cool. Like
now I have to be extra precautious when I'm around you because I want to make sure that I can cut through your white lies, babes.
I don't think I've ever lied to you.
Or is that a white lie within itself? Are you telling me a white lie right now?
No, because I think I lie to make myself look cooler. And I only want to look cooler to get laid. Do you know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
Like I want something from somebody if I'm lying to you. I've got everything I could possibly want. Your gorgeous friendship, this beautiful friendship. I don't need to lie. I don't need to hide parts of myself from you, babe.
You know,
I love ABBA. You know I kill it when Britney comes on. Like
you do, babes. You've gotten yourself out. I do believe that you are the truthful queen in my eyes.
Thanks, babe. Thanks, babe.
That was a lot to unpack, but more so for you to unpack, not for me, because I'm an angelic person, it seems. Or am I?
I don't think Joe's gonna listen to this, so we're all good.
Yeah.
He'd be more mad about the dog thing than the lying thing. He knows I lie. So I think in the last 5 minutes have really unpacked myself and grown. I have been on a bit of a mini journey this episode. You know who else has been on a journey, Connor?
Who, Emma?
Kath. Kath has been on her journey. And she finally sits Kim down in the kitchen and says, babe, I know you're a lesbian and that's okay. And then Kim says, no. Not bloody lesbian, you got the real wrong end of the stick there, mum. Anyway, Kath's distraught. She wanted to be an ally.
Like she wanted to go to Mardi Gras and be on the pride bit.
But before we can even let that sink in, who walks in? None other than Queen Sharon. And she has been sucking face all night. So her, like the complete lower half of her face is just dry.
Dry,
and
red.
Red. They call it pash rash. Which I love. And she's got such a little cheeky grin. She's so cute.
Honestly, she's got that mousy grin on. You can see her teeth, her cheeks are up. And she has that rosy complexion, not just from the pash rash, but because of her blush as well.
Yeah,
and
it's so cute. She's so,
so happy for her. So happy for her, honestly.
Have you ever had pash rash?
No, just the hickeys. Would you say that? Because pash rash is from like a beard though, isn't it?
Yeah. Just hickey.
Have you ever had a pash rash?
Yes, I've only had it once and it stayed for weeks.
Really?
I had relations with a Scotsman called Chris with a K, like Chris Jenner.
That's interesting.
Weird, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like the Scottish way of spelling it. I don't know.
Let's just say that.
Let's just say that. And it was literally on the end of my nose, and I've got quite a big nose anyway, so so like noticeable. End of my nose, top lip, and like all over my chin. And the thing is with pash rash is because it's so dry, and it was so dry that like even like all the moisturizer in the world wasn't saving it. And so I try and cover it in makeup. Everyone could tell, and everyone was like, "What the fuck is wrong with your face?" And I'd be like, "I don't know. Just a really bearded guy gave me a little snog."
Chris Jenner gave me a smog.
Chris Jenner gave me a snog.
That would have been one for the books. I mean, has that made you think differently of making out with someone with stubble?
I think I've just got really sensitive little baby skin, because if there's some, like, stubble does hurt my little face.
Oh.
Like, I make Joe clean shave, even though he hates it, but you gotta do what you gotta do, baby.
Mate, do you know what? He does love you enough to be clean shaven. That's a lot to ask for someone.
Yeah, he does love me. You're right, as he should.
So Kath, Kim and Sharon are all in the kitchen and everyone's very happy about Sharon, apart from Kim, obviously. And Kim is like, I need to go to a fashion show. And she can't go because she's got no one to go with. And Sharon's like, well, I'm meant to be going on my date. And Kath needs to go sort out something with Kel. They need to fix their relationship. So Sharon was like to Kim, look, I love you. You know, you're my best friend, you know. Kim looks at her with that evil look, being, how much of a friend are you? And she gets roped in to looking after Cujo.
Aww.
She was dressed up for the date. She had some makeup on. She had a massive pink polo shirt, a long flowery dress that did not match whatsoever. It was very much of a colour flash. She looked good, though.
It was 2002.
It was. Because she took one for the team, that meant Brett was able to go see Kim. Still didn't work out. It still didn't work out.
They've got a lot to work on, haven't they? Yeah,
they've got a lot to unpack and to deal with.
Mm. Back at Kath's place, Kel comes through the door. He's had a perm. He's in leather jeans. And he hands her a Barbara Streisand CD. And I think the funniest line of the episodes comes out Kath's mouth as she proclaims, well, of course you can't be gay. You're a Barbara Streisand fan. All is forgiven. And
just because of Barbara Streisand.
She heals all.
She heals all. And she heals it enough for them to have a nice little bath together, a little bubbly bath with some secchi. And they really got to show their journey. And this episode was a massive journey.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed this episode a lot. Ultimately, because of the journey Kath went on and her growth. What was your favourite quote of the episode, Con?
Now it's time for the quote of the episode.
Well, I think my one has to be the first look at me, and it's, go back to Brett, toot sweet, get real, you'll never do any better.
And I think we can all heed those words.
Yes.
We can all learn from that. Get real.
Get real.
Just
take away Brett and replace it with any name that you think is necessary. What's your favourite quote?
It's a quote in regards to Kim talking to her mum about chopping all of her hair off, which after a breakup, you need to go through like a change in look, don't you? It's just done. And Kath tells Kim, guys like long hair on a lady, especially if it's on her head.
There were some really good ones. Oh, we forgot one, and it was to do with, I had it on here. Let me get it out. We've got an extra one here, which I think is my real one. And this is the one that I'm going to go for. It's when Kath is getting on the wedding outfits and she finds the right one and she says, Kel's going to cream his jeans.
Oh, that's so good. I love that saying. Gonna cream his jeans.
Cream his jeans.
So funny.
Well, that's it. That's the end.
Yeah. Another fantastic episode from Connor and Emma.
Yes. Please check out our Instagram at Look Up Moi, please, if you want to keep up with the Kath and Kim content. And listen out to our next episode, which will be coming out in a couple of weeks. You can listen on any platform that has podcasts, which is fancy. We've really upgraded our game. But thank
you,
Emma.
We're famous now, babe.
We're famous now.
Thank you, Connor.
And if anyone knows any Australian listeners that can listen on to the show, please, please share to them, please. Thank you. So we can become international.
We want to be international. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. Bye.